Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Round the Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Lucius Jackson, Harold Presley, Joey Devine, Diamond Stone, A.G. Rosterhouse, Sean Keane, Dylan Windler, Terry Crosby, Valerie Still, Steve Nash, and Nick Young. Patreons, Andrew Liu, thank you, Andrew. Billy Attridge, thank you, Billy. The Mighty Chuck, thank you, Chuck. Musical guest, Parque Courts. And now, the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode, and a very special guest, Joe Quazala. I should say we'll be talking to him later, but first, we're going to talk to my friend and yours, America's Uncle Dad. New owner of a sauna, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Haven't turned on the sauna yet, but you know.
Sean's lady friend bought a house that has a sauna in it, which is wild.
It's real crazy.
Just a wild thing to come with a house is an outdoor sauna. Do you live? Norway?
It is very Nordic. I will be showing it to my nephew today, and he is going to have many questions. Mm-hmm. There's also an outdoor shower.
Weird.
It's definitely a lot of
freaks lived there before.
I gotta say, it's not really the kind of house you would think had an outdoor shower, but maybe it's for the sauna? I don't know.
It is for the sauna, definitely. Yeah. Because you get sweaty in a sauna, Sean.
I feel like I could make it indoors, though. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Sean, game three of the NBA Finals happened yesterday.
Yes.
Before we talk not that much about the NBA Finals, anything you want to say about it?
It's kind of going as predicted, I guess. Did you have Nuggets in five?
I did have Nuggets in five, yes.
I had Nuggets in six. And let me tell you this, Joey. I actually think Miami's going to win game five, not game four. Like, that's just how they're kind of programmed. Like, this is a team that's going to play well with their backs against the wall and then relax once DJ Khaled's there again. You know what I mean?
I also should note that I did say the funniest possible finals MVP is Gabe Vincent. And if the Heat were going to win That's not out of the question.
I mean, if you're ranking the finals MVP candidates, he is in the top five. Yeah. For sure. Maybe not as much after game three, but look, if you shoot 50% from three in the finals, you got a chance.
I've got to say, my biggest takeaway from all of this is it feels like no one has watched Nikola Jokic play basketball before, the way the takes are flying about him.
Didn't Lisa Salter say she hadn't watched him before this?
I think she did, yeah.
That's weird. And it's also, it was funny this year that, like, I feel like the takes are, like, 3 years behind because Nikola Jokic was a little bit out of shape, and then he lost all this weight during the shutdown in 2020 and has just been in shape since then. Mm-hmm. And people are talking about him like he's, I don't know, Mark Eaton.
Or, yeah. Like, and people are also like, oh, he's not dominant. It's like, he had a triple-double. What are you talking about?
He's averaging a triple-double, in fact. Seems like he's pretty effective on defense, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but it's sometimes just having a guy who is huge, who gets in the right place and can has a lot
move
of control
feet.
Of his arms. Yeah. Like that's anyway. I mean, do you think this is killing the people in Philadelphia?
I mean,
is it killing the Embiid MVP people? Like, do they have a reason to live anymore? Is this the greatest day for 538's Raptor metric ever? It's also funny because I have literally been rooting for these teams in all of their series going into this one. So I'm kind of like, well, I guess I have to root against one of these teams now, sort of, but I'm kind of not. I'm just sort of watching the games and rooting for, like, Jimmy Butler and Jamal Murray individually. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm very happy for the Nuggets and their fans. I would also be happy for the Heat and their fans. But it's usually I have a lot more of a bitter rooting interest in the NBA Finals. So this is a weird one for me.
Yeah.
It's been like, I'm either rooting for the Warriors or against the Lakers or Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in 2021, I was rooting against Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. That was useful for me. I think I was rooting for LeBron in those Spurs series, which is weird.
Right.
I was.
So was I.
He felt like an underdog in 2013.
Yeah. I rooted for Dirk in every finals Dirk was in, all two of them.
So... I guess when it was 2010's the last time I had like a hard time picking a team.
Right.
Before this.
Anyway, weird finals so far. I do want to say again, getting back to narratives, stop it, everyone. Just enjoy watching basketball the way, look, and we are probably not help. We're probably a part of the problem here because we are a basketball show that barely talks about basketball, but we're comedians. It's not our job to talk about
that. We're not
trying
to make a narrative. Oh my God. The thing that kills me the most is when people are like, so is Nikola Jokic top 25 all time, top 15? It's like, shut up. Wait till someone retires. Also, it doesn't matter. Listing things is really boring.
Yeah.
No one can. All ratings are arbitrary of everything.
And also, by the way, I feel like Adam Silver is adding to this where it's like not talking about basketball, where he like went on Dan Patrick today and was like just cracking jokes about Ja Morant's guns.
That
it's like
was
the
weird.
NBA finals are on, dude. Do you maybe want to talk about that?
So let's just jump into this, Joey?
Yeah, sure.
So Adam Sandler,
Adam Silver, you said Sandler.
Adam Sandler's like, who were you? Oh, Ja Morant better not use that gun. I have a 30-year-old Adam Sandler impression. So he made a statement before the finals started saying, about John Morant. We've uncovered a fair amount of additional information. We probably could have brought it to a head now, but we've made the decision that would be unfair to these players and these teams to announce that decision in the middle of the series. Can I throw something out there?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Maybe don't announce that you're not making a decision until the end of the series either. Because this is like more distracting. Because now people are just, it's like he's intentionally trying to distract people, because now people are speculating about the suspension. He could have just said it and then people would have reacted and that would have just been it. But now he's still going on. Why is he talking to Dan Patrick about this?
He was literally making jokes about it today.
Well, it was so, I mean, part of that is, I'm not sure that Ja Morant's camp is always making the best decisions for his interest. He was reacting to the story that the second time it was actually a toy gun on Instagram Live. And Adam Silver's like, well, the NBA better investigate it, but it's still a bad decision. And it's like, what are we talking about? Adam Silver's like listening to The Breakfast Club and... Like,
well, if he's listening to The Breakfast Club, he also should have been cracking jokes about Zion, because anyone else is talking about. This,
Joey, let's mention the Zion thing real quick.
Hold on. I just, what are we doing here? The NBA Finals are on, their ratings are really high, unlike every joke everyone made. Uh-huh. It's been really enjoyable, and the NBA's leading newsbreakers, including the commissioner, are talking about maybe suspending a guy maybe getting waived, and also a guy a guy's weird sex marital problems. Like, what are we doing here?
I'm gonna say I don't blame the newsbreakers for the Zion story. As you may have been familiar with, Pelicans mostly mascot at this point, Zion Williamson, who's played upwards of 100 games for the New Orleans Pelicans in the last 4 years, posted a gender reveal video with
with the mother of his child.
The mother of his child. The two-word description of her from Black Sports Online was truly something. That's all I'm going to say. And then he had another paramour of his that got very angry on Twitter and could not believe that he did a gender reveal video announcing his that he'd impregnated another woman after they had an intimate encounter where Zion spit in her mouth.
I'm on her side on this one. She should be upset. I would say.
I think so too. But you know, he's had a lot of free time on the court. So,
And now it came out he moved her to New Orleans.
He was going to, I don't know. It's, I haven't followed it any further, but it is funny that I like that we are in a culture that is not shaming sex workers to the degree it used to, but it is forcing, more mainstream outlets to find descriptions of modeling that are somewhat different than conventional ideas of modeling. I'll say that. I hope that baby stretches, you know what I mean? Those joints right from the beginning. So our other...
But seriously, the four main stories right now, Sean.
Yeah.
Are the guy who's won two MVPs is averaging a triple double in the finals isn't very good. Chris Paul is getting waived. A guy might be suspended for taking photos with a toy gun.
And it's probably a real gun, Joey.
I'm just saying. An injured man's infidelity, and I would say What are we doing here? We are playing the NBA Finals and a guy is averaging a triple-double in them. Like,
I don't blame him for the Zion. The Chris Paul thing is seems like a weird simmering newsbreaker feud broke the surface.
Anyway, first off, before we do this, I should we've been talking about the news, but I should play the
Sorry.
News.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about Chris Haynes and Chris Paul. Oh, also, the fifth story no one will shut up about is will a man get traded or not? A man who cannot stop giving interviews about the Portland Trailblazers.
Let's attack these one at a time.
We
also have two questions. We have two reader questions as well.
Yeah, we'll get to those after the news. All right, let's go with Chris Paul, I guess. Sean, do you want to run the walk the listeners through this stupid story?
So the setup is Chris Paul is under contract for another 2 years. 2 years from now, his contract is not guaranteed. Next year, he gets a guaranteed $16 million or $31 million if they pick up his option. Now, that has to be done right around the time of the NBA draft. So it sounds like what happened was Chris Paul. So Chris Haynes reported that Phoenix was going to waive Chris Paul to save that $15 million. I'm just going to theorize. And again, this is just me guessing. I think that information probably came from Chris Paul's camp. Because they have a compelling interest. He wants to be a free agent as soon as possible. Then a report came out from Sean Steronia saying that the Suns and Chris Paul were only discussing the possibilities for his contract, whether that would be a trade or a release. They also suggested that he could get released and then re-sign with the Phoenix Suns and then Woj jumped in as well. No one really knows exactly what's happening. I'm going to say this. It's pretty likely that Chris Paul gets waived.
Yes, but he's but he's going to get traded first.
No, I don't think he's even going to get traded.
I think
though.
He's going to get traded.
But they don't you think he's going to get traded and then waived?
Yes.
But that's not how non-guaranteed contracts work anymore. You have to guarantee.
Oh, they don't. That doesn't work that way anymore.
Guarantee.
Then never mind. He's getting waived.
Normally, yes, that would be the way to do it. But yeah, no one really is gonna. It's just really hard to trade for a 31-year-old Chris Paul anyway, especially when everybody. I mean, essentially, it's in Chris Paul's interest to get waived as early as possible so he can find a team before the draft and other people make their decisions, and he gets a lot of money either way. So
great.
I mean, my prediction and the funniest possible thing, basically, what I think he is becoming is a get out of Kyrie Irving free card. Like, I was looking at it and I was like, where could Chris Paul go? And most of the places I think are the best destinations for him are the places that would keep the teams from signing James Harden, Kyrie Irving, or Russell Westbrook. Like, it's back to the Clippers, go to the Lakers, go to the Mavs, go to the Sixers, or go back to the Pelicans, basically. I don't know. Where do you think you should go?
I actually have a dark horse. I think this team has secretly signed a lot of these old guys that have been waived. I think he's going to the Milwaukee Bucks.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Didn't really seem like there was a lot of bitterness after that finals, you know. And they do, I mean, they could kind of go all in. I have a feeling Chris Middleton will probably be picking up his $40 million player option.
I think he'll extend for less money.
He might extend for less money. He might extend for less money. Yeah, it turned out he had some surgery. That's weird.
Yeah, my guess is he'll sign for something like $28 million a year for 3 years or something.
He's definitely not going anywhere.
Yes, that would be my guess. Yeah.
Okay. But I actually think he would be, it would be kind of cool if he went to the Pelicans, like went back to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. They don't really have anyone blocking him. CJ McCollum, sort of, but CJ's not really a point guard. He'd,
I think, but everyone knows he's actually just going to the Lakers, right? So yeah, then I mean, they don't also have to, then they don't have to sign Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
That will satiate LeBron James's need to play with an old man.
Also, it kind of won't make people as angry when they just bring back D'Angelo Russell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's okay. The Chris Paul story that that's we're talking about instead of game three of the NBA Finals.
The other thing I think that the reason that story might have broken is that earlier in the day, there was a story about people at school making fun of Chris Paul's daughter. That apparently she's old enough now that when she gets into arguments, people will say things like, "Your daddy ain't never going to win no championship."
I mean, so, that's rough for her.
I guess it's sort of, I mean, luckily she's very, very wealthy. So that, that should help her out a little bit. Or she could say, "My father's nickname is the point god." I also think this story is made up. Kind of like the Westbrook story. But,
the Westbrook story. Yeah. All right, Sean, you had to. Funny jaw jokes you wanted to say. Do you want to do those real quick? Well, we already talked about jaw, so.
Yeah, well, okay, so the weird thing to me is that Adam Silver keeps going out of his way to talk about how it's a gun safety issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which is pretty, I mean, he is going through a very narrow lane here. Mm-hmm. And it's like he doesn't want to step on the Second Amendment third rail. Yeah. So he's like, no. It's not that he had the gun. It's that he was waving it around. He wasn't taking the gun seriously enough. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, should Jaw just pivot into being a pro-gun guy? You know what I mean? Like, should he be doing commercials where he's like, "You could take the basketball out of my cold, dead hands," and like, "Basketballs don't dunk on people. I dunk on people." Like, that might be the best way for him to go, is that he's just like, he becomes the symbol of responsible gun ownership.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, he'll have to play less recklessly, you know what I mean? Cause the responsible point guard on that team is not John Morant. It's,
Tyus Jones.
I almost said Trey Jones, and I was like, wait, he's the one who sucks. He's the bad All right. One, yeah.
The others, I think we kind of covered the Zion story.
Uh-huh. And then Dame Lillard's in the news.
Oh, yes. Ugh. Yes. So I'm gonna say this is Dame Lillard, and it is also Kyrie Irving. However, Kyrie Irving is both fundamentally weirder and has more, like, financially at stake. Mm-hmm. So, before we get to them, Kyrie, there was some story where Kyrie told... was a Chris Haynes story.
No, I don't think so. Wasn't this...
Well, Chris Haynes deleted the tweet about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. Basically, Kyrie said that he was trying to get Dallas to trade for LeBron at the trade deadline because the Lakers are falling apart. And then... that information was tweeted out, and then everyone realized that by rule, LeBron could not have been traded last year. He signed an extension. And then it was pivoted to Kyrie is trying to recruit LeBron to play for the Dallas Mavericks, which also I don't really think is possible to happen. Am I wrong about that?
This wasn't, though, let's be honest, this was a clutch story. It was telling Rob Pelinka how to trade for Kyrie Irving.
And that he's like, I can't really technically it might be tampering. So I'm going to just say that I want LeBron to come to my team.
Yeah.
And no one will suspect how obvious that is. Clutch is very good at the tampering, paying Kentavious Caldwell-Pope something like getting him $35 million from the Lakers so that Rob Pelinka could call his agent, could call LeBron's agent directly without being illegal. But then Damian Lillard likes to engage with his fans, does a lot of Instagram lives, called out Joel Embiid because he thought he was dissing his teammates during the playoffs. He went on a Showtime boxing show that is hosted by an ESPN boxing and basketball reporter. And during that appearance, the reporter asked him about trade rumors, saying that there were rumors that Dame should go to the Knicks, the Nets, the Heat, or the Celtics. And he asked Dame which of those places he would prefer. And Lillard said that the Heat would be his top choice and that he would also like to play with the Brooklyn Nets. So,
didn't have to answer that question.
He did not. He,
but you know who loves attention? Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard. He likes attention.
His favorite thing to do is get people talking. He loves to stir the pot.
What he likes to do is make suggestions that he should be traded while maintaining that he's the loyal guy who will never request a trade. And I kind of feel like the Portland organization, again, I don't know what Jody Allen wants to do.
Besides steal dinosaur bones.
Yeah, steal dinosaur bones.
sexually harass bodyguards.
Those are big things. Or Baseball Hall of Famer Joe Cronin, the 175-year-old former Washington Senators shortstop who's running the Trailblazers. But it's kind of at an impasse where Lillard comes to the edge of asking for a trade. Like when he said he wasn't interested in another young player. And Portland has the number 3 pick in the draft. Now that's not, specifically he's kind of asking them to trade for a veteran, but at the same time, he's kind of suggesting that he should be traded. The same way, this is like, well, he didn't demand a trade, but he certainly said two places where he'd like to be traded. So I guess there's nuance there, but
speaking of nuance, Steve Kerr was on Draymond Green's podcast this week.
Great sign for the team.
And he was talking about the Heat, and he was like, what's so beautiful about the Heat is they're all bought in. None of their role players are complaining about playing time. And so now poor Jonathan Kuminga, who just was like, I just want to know if I'm playing from night to night. Is trending on Twitter every single day.
Well, I'm sure that noise will die down when he's working out in different major cities every day during the summer. As he is planning to do. Just a real stable situation. I'm sure the steady hand of Mike Dunleavy Jr. will right that ship. I don't know if Steve Kerr, maybe he could have done that podcast after the draft or when things were more.
But, you know, he's part of the Phil Jackson coaching tree. Anytime you can shade your own players in the media for no reason, you got to do it, you know.
Although I'm kind of OK with him shading Jordan Poole.
Yes, me too.
So I'm like, I feel like Kuminga is sort of unfair where it's almost like, I mean, clearly he has some moments of maybe not as much seriousness as you'd like, but he's also a young man from the Congo who like left his family to play basketball.
Who also played really well this year and then wasn't playing for no reason.
I gotta say the Warriors will be free agent suitors for Gabe Vincent and Haywood Highsmith. This,
yeah, I don't even know think if Haywood that's Highsmith's gonna happen. All right, we talked about the finals. Should we talk to our friend Joe Quazala, Sean? Actually, yeah, there is one thing I want to talk about the finals we haven't mentioned.
Oh, yeah, okay,
Sean. Is it weird that every time I turn the finals, I look at the TV and I turn the Miami Heat game on, I'm surprised Cody Zeller is there?
No, it feels like he like wandered out there. Because, okay, it's one thing to see Kevin Love there because Kevin Love was playing all year and then got benched for a little while, but like, you know, went to the Heat and then immediately started. Cody Zeller was not in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure when he exactly left the NBA. But it feels like he's been gone for more than a year. There's no one in the league who's bald in the same way that he is.
He's wearing a lot of accessories, too.
Yeah, it's like Mike he got like Mike Miller's old locker and just put everything on at once.
Yeah,
he just
had the stuff in it still, yeah.
And sometimes you'll just see a strap and you're like, I'm not even really sure what that's connected to. Like I know he's protecting his body, but not really a specific part of his body. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
It's really weird.
It's unsettling. Yeah, it feels like he like won a contest, wandered in like a bus broke down and they had to suit up a coach or like an equipment manager. You know what it is? It's like the version of like the high school team's last game of the season where the team manager gets to come in.
Yeah, yeah.
Only it's the finals and he's guarding Nikola Jokic.
And he's not playing bad, we should say.
No,
it's just a jarring, it's a very jarring visual that happens.
The other thing is that Cody Zeller, while being, again, not even a bad NBA player, but was an NBA player for the Charlotte Hornets forever, she would almost never see him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, when your team played there, but, like, he's not going to be on TNT.
Right.
Anyway, it's like the opposite of Kevin Love, who I feel like we think about all the time. Or maybe I just think about him all the time. I don't know. The other thing I wanted to talk about in the finals is that did you notice Jeff Van Gundy monologuing about how you pronounce Christian?
Well,
I mean, they're all terrible. He's... Oh, man. It. Oh, I do want to mention this. The Dallas Mavericks apparently are interested in getting Jeff Van Gundy back on the sidelines as one of Jason Kidd's assistants. Mm-hmm.
Please do. But also hire Mark Jackson. We need them both.
But he was talking about how he can't believe that Christian Braun's name is pronounced like that, even though it's spelled B-A-B-R-A-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to find the clip. He has been doing this all season long.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He started doing this in November during a game that the Nuggets weren't playing in. it was like a Cavs Celtics game, and he was complaining about it. He complained about it during the Lakers series, and in this game, he said it was like if his name was spelled Van Gundy and he pronounced it Jones.
That's not true.
Brown is not really that rare a name, even. Mm-mm. It's like it's just German. It's also like he knows that many last names are phonetically similar and spelled differently, often just due to forms. Anyway, it's
also
crazy.
We should say why you brought him up. Shouts to Christian Brown. Good game, man. Yeah.
I believe he has a chance to be the first player since Magic Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, to win an NCAA title and an NBA title back to back.
Well, for that to happen,
someone I'm not thinking about.
For that to happen, though, he's got to Jokic needs to be hurt for Game 7, and Christian Brown needs to start at center.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And Jeff Van Gundy still refusing to call him anything but Braun. ESPN even put up a graphic that's like he says his name's Brown.
Yeah, like it was a lie. All right, there's one last piece of news we need to talk about, Sean, and that is, of course,
what's up,
Suns
fans? Coach Frank Vogel here.
Coach Frank Vogel is the coach of the Phoenix Suns. Unfortunately, he will not be coaching Chris Paul, who has been waived 3 days ago. But the first thing Coach Frank Vogel said he wanted, Sean, he was gonna get in DeAndre Ayton's ass.
Okay, big men love Frank Vogel.
Everybody knows if anyone can get someone who is not motivated to be motivated, it's someone who sounds like this when they talk.
What's up, Suns fans? Coach Frank Vogel here.
What's up, DeAndre Ayton? Please stop playing video games.
Look, he has produced the one acceptable Dwight Howard season in the last 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm.
He got Anthony Davis to play hard to play most of the games.
When Roy Hibbert parted ways, Roy Hibbert became a full time Parks and Rec guest star. Mm-hmm. And he's the man who convinced Nikola Vucevic to start shooting threes, mm-hmm. which means I'm very sorry, Chicago Bulls fans. That's the reason you don't have Franz Wagner and you won't even get Grady Dick, the most future Orlando Magic player in this.
All right. Should we talk to our friend Joe Quazzalo, the host of Who Cares About the Rock Hall and stand-up comic extraordinaire who has a new special out? We brought him on to talk about the rock and roll storylines of the NBA Finals. So here are Sean and I talking to Joe. We're here with a friend, comedian, rock and roll Hall of Fame voter, host of the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast, and more importantly, a man who has a special that you can watch right now. It's our friend Joe Quazzalo. Joe, how are you doing?
Hey guys, it's so nice to be here talking b-ball with the boys.
The boys.
Full disclosure, Joe doesn't know that much about basketball.
True.
But he does have a new special out that we would all like you to watch, which is why he's on today.
Yes, it's called Ooh La La. It is available on YouTube. It's on Helium Comedy Studios YouTube page, and it's I'm very proud of it. It's funny, and if you like these boys, you're gonna love me.
Sean,
yes,
you came up with some ideas to talk to Joe, who's a music expert as well as a comedian. Do you wanna bring up some NBA Finals storylines for Joe, the music man?
I mean, we're being very current here, talking about the details of the NBA Finals that are going on right now. The Denver Nuggets, basically the Lumineers team, the Denver Nuggets, are up 2-1 over the Miami Heat Sound Machine, as we call them. Glorious Stefan Lovers. Here's the first question I have is, it seems like, maybe it's because they have such a celebrity crowd, but there are a lot of famous people who get kicked out of Miami Heat games, mm-hmm. either from being abusive to players or, I guess, other fans. I don't know. So I'm going to say, this is a question. I'm going to list three musicians who have been kicked out or will inevitably be kicked out. And you just pick which one you think is most likely to make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. First, we have Jimmy Buffett, who was kicked out, I think, for being abusive to a referee.
Yeah, he was cursing at a referee. And then there's a really famous quote where really funny quote where Pat Riley was on the sidelines and he asked the referee, "Have you kicked out Jimmy Buffett? What, are you not a parrot head?" And then the referee didn't know what that meant and almost gave Pat Riley a technical because he thought he was being called a name.
A slur. Yeah.
Parrot head. Now, technically, this artist was not kicked out, but his manager was, a Flo Rida.
Mm-hmm.
And This is going to happen, I think, before the end of the NBA Finals. DJ Khaled is your third choice.
Now, is he a visible and noticeable presence at these games?
Yes, very visible.
DJ Khaled is like wandering onto the court after these games.
Yeah.
It's very much like, well, we'll get into, anyway, yeah, so just to start out.
Yeah, just to start with those three guys.
Khaled or Flo Rida, I have a little more to say about musicians wandering onto the court.
Yeah, I strongly believe that if Jimmy Buffett made a ballot, he would get in immediately because he has the name recognition, which often is the most important thing for getting in. And I think he has, like, he's friends with all of, like, the old rockers. Mm-hmm. Like, he's buddies with the Eagles and everybody else. He might have inducted the Eagles now that I think about it. Like, I think he gave the speech to induct those guys.
He was like, I'm only friends with jerks. And my best friends are the Eagles.
Both the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett are rep by power manager to the Stars, Irving Azoff, who has been known to grease the wheels. He's on the board of the Rock Hall, but he's a very powerful player. He could, if he really wanted to, and I wouldn't put it outside of the realm of possibility, he, like, almost single-handedly could probably get Jimmy Buffett into the Rock Hall, and he could do it soon because Mr. Buffett ain't no spring chicken, but it seems like he's is he how current is his are his outbursts at the games?
Not very current.
It's a while.
Yeah, it's been
I think
Pat Riley
like was
20
years.
Coach.
Yeah. Yeah, so 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. The thing about Buffett is that, like, his legend looms large, but, like, push comes to shove, you don't know more than two songs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not even sure I could tell you what Cheeseburger in Paradise sounds like. I just know
what
the title of the song.
Right.
It sounds like
Cheeseburger in Paradise.
It sounds like a made up rock song.
At one point, like, he does like the clap, clap, clap. And he's like, I like mine with lettuce and tomato.
Yeah. And then he goes, Hans 57 in French fried potatoes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to be working out to this song in a while. That, you know, Irving Azoff also has a big connection to the New York Knicks because he has some kind of connection with Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
And they basically, like, he and the Knicks owner, who is a rocker himself, the front man of JD and the Straight Shots.
John Dorian, is that his name?
James Dolan.
Dolan, okay.
He often pulls the strings that his band is the opening act for the Eagles at MSG, often.
Which you can do if you own MSG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other funny thing I heard about that is when JD and the Straight Shot plays MSG, they just give away their merch for free.
That's so funny. Azoff MSG Entertainment is the venture.
Yeah, so they basically, so you know how the Clippers are opening a new arena in Inglewood?
Mm-hmm.
The Intuit Dome. What a classic name. He and James Dolan basically extorted. How much do you think they had to pay? Basically, they basically forced the Clippers to buy the Forum to, like, stave off harassment lawsuits.
Yeah, because it was like competing musical venue.
So Irving Azoff, like, stole a couple $100 million from Clippers owner Steve Ballmer.
Yeah,
right. This is one of three entries underneath the subheading controversy on Irving Azoff's Wikipedia page. It's the second one down.
They were trying to buy the city government of Inglewood, which I didn't even realize had a separate city government than just Los Angeles. And then Florida's manager got kicked out, I believe, during the NBA Finals when the Heat were playing the San Antonio Spurs. Is that right, Joey?
That sounds right.
Yeah, because he couldn't have gotten kicked out during the bubble.
Didn't he get kicked out of the Knicks game when they were playing the Knicks, too? Or was that he was just being obnoxious then? I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
He was ejected from the 2013 conference finals for arguing with Jeff Pendergraf.
Now, there's plenty of non-musical performer awards in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Joe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are the chances Flo Rida's manager gets one?
Man, yeah. Gosh. Well, you know, does... If they do the ceremony in Miami, he has his best shot, no doubt. It's funny. It's hard to search Flo Rida because
his name is Florida. Like, yeah,
you mean Florida?
Did he pick his name before kind of. Google existed? I mean, I started a comedy show called The Business, so I'm not
un-Googled.
Yeah,
our show is called Round Ball Rock, Sean. It is also un-Googleable because.
I think we lost Joey for a moment.
He just froze. I think you're back. Are you back?
You are. He
Am I back?
Back?
Okay.
You're back.
Sorry.
Do you guys know who Flo Rida's manager is?
I don't know his name.
I don't know his name.
It's he has one name, and it's Freezy. I was like looking for Dave Lewis. I thought it would just be, but no, it's
right.
The guy named Freezy. All right.
I guess probably there probably aren't a lot of managers. Well, there's probably some managers in the
there's lots
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I mean, Irving Azoff himself is in the hall.
Sean, basically, you know? If you have worked for Bruce Springsteen at any point, you are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
His lawyer is in, his agent and his manager. Isn't that correct?
Yes. No? And his backing band and his engineer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, truly. It's like, because John Landau, his manager, is a big player in the hall. And so he can kind of have anybody he wants be inducted, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. We like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Freezy. Like if what Freezy has to do is he has to cozy up to John Landau and Irving Azoff. Yeah. And then he's good as gold.
Okay, so DJ Khaled, are there a lot of DJs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, you've got Grandmaster Flash, you've got Jam Master Jay, some of the hip hop groups like DJ Yella. I mean, I guess Dre is a DJ to some degree. Yeah. Like when there are DJs in a hip hop group, and this year DJ Kool Herc, who is just straight up a DJ, never released a record or anything, he's getting inducted.
Well, Dick Clark, he's also in, isn't?
Dick Clark is in. I guess you would call him a DJ. And Alan Freed is in the first year.
Yeah, I was
going to
say the Payola Man, also in,
which is sad because Dick Clark was also a Payola Man, but just really took the fall for all of it. But I am surprised that Wolfman Jack and some of those other kind of influential DJs are not in. Yeah. They kind of stopped it after Freed.
DJ Khaled is not eligible until 2031.
Yeah, good luck
his
to DJ Khaled.
Chances are listed at 5% on
Future Rock
Legends.
The greatest website of all time when it comes to appearing on Joe's podcast. Yeah.
Listen, we're in the pocket of big Future Rock Legends, no doubt. Great resource. I'm on it right now.
Is DJ Lethal going to get in?
only until DJ Scribbles gets in.
What about the guy who wears the headphones and plays the bass at the same time in Linkin Park?
Is that Mike Shinoda?
No. He's just the bass player.
This is just a guy.
Yeah. I used to have a joke when I first started doing stand-up that he was actually listening to different music while performing in Linkin Park.
The thing is, if Linkin Park gets in, which is I'm not convinced they will, but there's definitely an argument because they were big enough. But I believe that dude is a member, and I think they would induct him, even though, you know, his contributions were, dubious. Who would this be? Joe Hahn, turntables, samples, programming.
What are the chances? All right, so Sean, Jimmy Buffett's not in. But the Red Hot Chili Peppers were ejected from a game. Are they the only Ooh. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers
as a group
from
I'm
a basketball
curious
game.
how many of them.
What was like, just Anthony Kiedis that was ejected from the game
okay.
for fighting attempting
he
to,
tried
fight
to fight
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul
yeah.
of the Houston Rockets at
and
the time.
And this was recently. This was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, LeBron was on the Lakers. Yeah. It must have been 2018. It was the first game of the season, I believe, in 2018.
Mm-hmm. And he had a real bad mustache when he was trying to do it. Well, was Flea also kicked out? I don't
Flea
remember.
Flea was not kicked out. Yeah.
But he was probably there.
Flea
oh,
was
he was
yelling,
yeah.
but Anthony was like much more.
Like trying to get on the court.
Well, I believe they've had a war of words with Chris Paul in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way Flea described it. I don't think Anthony Kiedis has actually publicly commented on it. And Flea also implied that the Lakers just let Anthony come back and sit somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have to go to like Staples Center jail or anything like that.
I mean, that's it really does funny. Seem like Anthony Kiedis does often evade being thrown in jail in his life.
You know,
we'll leave it at that.
The Chili Peppers were banned from performing on Sesame Street, though.
Mm.
Because of their legal. Because
they could put the puppet on their cock.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they were worried about, basically. I believe they've been arrested for illegal Muppeting, actually.
All right, Sean, what's the next thing you'd like to ask Joe about?
Okay, so are you familiar with Jimmy Butler of the Miami Heat, Joe?
Yes, to some degree. Just like I know that he's pretty much like the star player of mm-hmm. right
yeah.
of the Heat at the moment, and like... Yeah, people are excited about him.
Yeah,
that's all. But that's pretty much all I know.
Well,
about
Well, you also
about
lived in Chicago, which he's like a Chicago legend there because he was. On
yeah,
the Bulls
he was on the Bulls when I was there. So sure, but like very very little info beyond that I have about Mr. Butler.
Well,
so
before Sean gets into his music, oh, yeah, I'll tell you, Jimmy Butler once gave a quote. Where yeah. he said he takes all the rear view mirrors off of his car because he doesn't like looking backwards.
Yes.
This and this guy, English is his first language?
Yeah.
Yeah. He later claimed he was just joking, and the reporter was very credulous about that. But he is from Texas. He is a big country music fan, and now he is kind of the alpha dog of the Miami Heat locker room, which means... in NBA seniority standards, you get to control the music. Now, that used to be hilarious.
I wish the listeners could see Joe's face light up when he just heard this.
Yes. So what that meant was that for many years, LeBron James was a big Pandora user, mm-hmm. but he refused to pay for ad-free Pandora.
That's so funny.
So he would be like God bless him. The weight room. This is like 5 years ago, six yeah. years ago. This is, you know, when he was still in Cleveland, the Cavaliers would be like working out and LeBron would be like rapping along to Jay-Z. And then a commercial would cut in for like a minute and people would, you know, the other players were like, don't you make like $30 million a year?
You're and literally like, a billionaire.
And LeBron oh. is LeBron's stance is just I don't pay for apps, and yeah. so allegedly he also does not pay for mobile data. So when they're traveling, like at the airport, he waits till he's like close enough to a Starbucks, and then
you can get that Wi-Fi,
Texas yeah. mail, or something like that. So Pandora did eventually. When the story came out, they did give him a free ad-free mm-hmm. Pandora.
But that sucks.
Yeah.
Just fucking be a weird baby about it and get it for free.
Yeah. I mean, he now, to be fair, he didn't ask about it. Dwayne Wade was making fun of him, and he was mm-hmm. just like, I'm not ashamed. So Jimmy Butler is from Texas, and he likes to blast... country music. He likes to play Morgan Wallen, which apparently noted white player Cody Zeller really enjoys that.
Okay, yeah, Morgan Wallen is a problematic is I guess yeah. the definition of problematic. But yeah, Morgan Wallen's like, I mean, like a true crossover. Like he has had the number one song on the pop charts too, like recently. So
yeah. He was in a Michelob Ultra commercial, also a hilarious thing for him to endorse. Where he
I mean, Michelob Ultra is the beer for athletes.
Yeah, right.
Like that's how they market. I talked to somebody who worked at because I think I want to say Michelob Ultra is Anheuser-Busch. I forget like who, but they were like, yeah, Michelob Ultra, all the ads, we cater to like people who work out, like athletes, and it's so stupid, but like that's just like historically who drinks Michelob Ultra.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it'll be somebody like sprinting, an Olympic swimmer sprinting off the blocks, and then it's like, ooh, cool down with a nice refreshing MU, baby.
But so in that commercial, Sean, do you want to tell Joe what's going on in it?
Well, he's listening to Hall & Oates.
Yeah. And singing along.
Singing along.
You Make My Dreams Come True?
Yes.
Yes.
Gotta be that one.
Yeah.
It's like, is this going to be a not very inventive commercial? Then it's got to be You Make My Dream.
So, but his favorite group is a band that just became eligible for the Rock Hall of Fame in 2022. It's a top-selling platinum artist from Canada, a group called Nickelback.
Wow.
So there is a story about how Jimmy Butler led the team in scoring and lost a very close game. And then afterwards was playing and singing along to exclusively Nickelback songs in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And then starts talking to 42-year-old Udonis Haslam, who is the oldest player in the NBA, who's just been on the Heat for, I don't know, 20 years at this point? Probably 20 years. He's like a coach that's also on the roster. And here's the quote from Udonis Haslam. "He's just explaining the song to me," Haslam said. "A lot of times the reason why people might diss or whatever is because they don't understand the song or they don't even give it a chance to listen. They just immediately shit on it. Once he started telling me what Chad Kroeger was saying and I started listening to it, then it all made sense."
I mean, I respect it on some level just because it's like it's come back around where it's become such a hack joke that Nickelback like sucks, like they're the punching bag, where it's like now if you're just into Nickelback for real, a part of me is like, okay, that's like an interesting move.
Yeah. Yeah. And I sort of can't tell exactly because it also seemed like he might have been mad at his teammates for letting
him down. It was punishment.
Yeah. And like you're listening to Nickelback. And he's said before that his leadership style is that he doesn't want anyone to get comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so he also this week, I mean, this is not music related, but he also gave a big interview where he just lied about going to an escape room. So the other team wouldn't know he was working on like a special jumper.
Oh, boy.
He's a weird guy. Yeah. Strange man.
Does seem weird. I look to see on the other side, like Nikola Jokic, like what his music is, and it's like traditional Serbian music.
Yeah, Joey, okay. I have a link in the description if you want to. I don't know if we can play that.
I have to pull it out. Hold on.
Okay. I was going to ask you, the thing is, we'll have this on our new Patreon podcast, what happened to the traditional Serbian folk music Hall of Fame. It's actually only one episode long because the answer is NATO troops bombed it in the mid 90s. So it's been destroyed.
Good God. Good Lord.
And which we don't support.
No.
That was wrong.
We don't like NATO.
No.
Famously. Also, shout out to Jerry Butler, Rock Hall inductee with the impressions. You know, not related to Jimmy Butler as far as I know, but
all right, this is the audio from a video of Nikola Jokic dancing to his favorite Serbian music. It might be a little quiet, but Weird. Yeah. There was also that, remember, Sean, there was that video of Nikola Jokic dancing shirtless at like a classic kind of Euro DJ situation where the guy might as well have been playing Sandstorm.
Yeah, yeah, it was really like, it's like a thing you would accidentally do when, like, backpackers would accidentally arrive at.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? And then
we should also mention there was also that time music wise with Jimmy Butler where he forced Team USA to do a sing along with him coming home from the Olympics to Vanessa Carlton's A Thousand Miles.
Yeah.
That's
on
sweet.
The team plane.
I like that.
And the guys will say, like, look, if you like a DJ with variety, Jimmy Butler will literally play anything. So
it's good to know.
What are Nickelback's chances of getting in the Rock Hall?
Oh, yeah, that was the question. Yeah.
Huge sales,
but like, has any band quite become the punching bag that they have been like, they will need my feeling?
Well, Journey.
Is they,
Journey was for like 10 but, years,
but not to the degree. I don't think there was ever like a moment where you could say, huh, this guy's a fan of Journey, and every type of audience would understand that meant it sucked.
Yeah.
I think Journey always had like unironic fans, and like Nickelback does to some extent, but like the country of Canada.
You are ignoring the country of Canada.
Yeah, right. But I think the dark cloud of like their name being synonymous with music that sucks is going to be a very difficult thing to overcome. And I think it would take a long time. And I think there would need to be some sort of reclamation era from like maybe the Zoomers or another generation after them. Like it's going to have to like, we will be very old.
Yeah.
Before that even is like entertained. Like,
I can't think of a rock band like that. Like you can have like a pop act that's synonymous with shittiness, but I can't really remember like a big band that's exactly.
Because Creed didn't even like hit those levels.
It should have been Creed. Creed is worse. But
should have been Creed.
I think Creed is worse. But
I think
still,
Nickelback's
they're
name
the same.
Is so bad too.
Yeah. Also, he has like a bad haircut and a punchable face.
Yeah. He has a look that you want to make fun of, just in general.
And well, also, I don't think Creed has that much of a catalog, whereas Nickelback really has a lot of songs. I think,
with number one hits, like
well,
on
you
the
will
pop
remind
charts.
Me was the most played radio song of the 2000s, like the
Wild.
Whole decade.
Yeah. Yeah, the sales are hard to deny, but you know you look at like if the question is like will to take an inductee that's finally getting in this year, it's like will Nickelback have to wait less time than the Spinners? Probably, probably not. I mean, like they will. Will they have to wait almost 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Like, yeah, it's also important to realize, like, Harry Nilsson still is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, if you look at, like, who isn't in, and then you think about Chad and the boys, it's like, we'll have to see.
I can't imagine who their advocate is, exactly.
That's the other thing, is, like, ultimately, even though there's, like, a lot of industry rot, like, in the decision-making with the Rock Hall, people still love music. And like the you
yeah
know,
like Jimmy Butler, there are a bunch of Jimmy Butlers.
Yeah.
or the OJs. I think you brought that up before, Joey. The song,
well, they love music.
All
any
kinds
kind
of
music.
Any kind.
That song's the best.
I wanted to just a quick hits before we get into a really meaty one. DeAndre Jordan, while he is a fan of Future, his second favorite musical act is One Direction.
Okay. How old is DeAndre Jordan?
He's not in his mid-30s.
34? He's
34,
yeah.
35, yeah.
Yeah, that's, it doesn't add up.
Yeah, he's also not the NBA center of his era that like dated a Disney Channel star either. Yeah. That was a different guy. So, but I guess like maybe is One Direction going to be thought of differently because of solo careers of their individual members?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you think? Yeah, that's probably like
that.
Yeah.
That will help them be taken a little bit more seriously, even though. It's just sometimes people try to compare One Direction to like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. And it was like they didn't have close to the success, like sheer dominance mm-hmm. culturally and hit songs that like people knew, even though they were adults, you know?
Right.
Also, they were a fake band made up for a TV show. All right.
Yeah.
Like you don't know you're beautiful. That's like literally the only song that I could tell you from One Direction. And that's like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC had like so many hits that just like completely were ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Tyler Hero is an injured shooting guard for the Miami Heat. He is the one player in this series who has a hit song named after him.
Yeah.
Which is a Jack Harlow song. I know it's early, but does Jack Harlow have a chance at the Rock Hall of Fame?
I will say, you know, like this is a guy who's famous enough to host SNL and mm-hmm. like start to be in movies and stuff. And that's mm-hmm. always a sign that like this could be a guy that's around, like the industry is really like behind him in a weird way. So mm-hmm. maybe, but like it's way too early to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he is not eligible for 13 more years. I'm actually surprised he recorded something in 2011.
That is really surprising. Yeah. How old is this fucker? 25.
Wait, so
he was 13? Like, what do you.
That counts?
Yeah, it counts.
But, I'm looking this up.
Even Wikipedia says this might be. Future rock legends. Well,
extra credit, self-released, but like my man was what? 13. Yeah. All right. Yeah. He moved. Let's see. He was, began rapping at age 12. Used a Guitar Hero microphone and laptop to record songs. They made a CD, Rippin' and Rappin'. Sold copies at their school. So
that
I mean, I guess, I don't know if like a self-release thing should count. When it's like literally like you burned
you were
a CD.
12 and you yeah. sold CDs at your school, that should not count.
No, I don't think so either. But you know, it's yeah, these mixtapes. At any rate, I say we need to delay the Harlow inevitability.
He's also been in the The Rock. I will say one thing about the White Man Can't Jump remake, which currently has a 27% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Good score.
Better than I thought.
A man named Robert Daniels said it was as unimaginative as it is corny, as dull as it is cheap, and as unfulfilling as any cash grab for a well-known property could possibly be.
Great.
So that's not positive. He'll probably do some more acting, though. That was his first one. That's a weird movie because normally when you put, kind of an inexperienced performer mm-hmm. like Jack Harlow, you try to put a lot of like support around them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Madonna's make him look alongside, good. You know, professional act. All of her first movies are like, let's just have her... talking to Rosanna Arquette.
Oh yeah, put her with an Arquette.
Warren Beatty, you know?
Yeah.
And they just got a former semi-pro basketball player. And then the director is the guy who made the Old Town Road video.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we try our best, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is another, not unlike Freezy, The director of White Men Can't Jump is also a one-named person named Cal Matic.
Cal Matic.
Mm-hmm. Great.
He also made the LeBron James House Party remake, which I'm not sure anyone saw.
Wow. That's like two in a row of like very similar vibe remakes that like kind of went under the radar.
Yeah.
He's the go-to guy for that. Calmatic is.
If you want to make a remake of a product of a some IP that you are running out of time owning, you call Calmatic.
Call Calmatic. Keep the rights in the family.
I mean that's quite a come up. He was directing Super Bowl commercials like 2 years ago. So
all right, job. Chun. We told Joe 45 minutes. We're at 32 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get into something you have done more research for anything we've ever done on this podcast.
It is true. So the Miami Heat are the most adjacent to rock and roll royalty because of the presence of power forward Kevin Love.
Yes.
The nephew of Beach Boys frontman Mike Love.
The worst son, man in rock and roll.
The son of former NBA player Stan Love, who was also like Brian Wilson's personal bodyguard at some point.
No, Dennis Incredible. Wilson's.
Oh, Dennis Wilson's. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, but it's not a bodyguard. It was more like a hostage situation that Mike Love put him in because he was doing too many drinks and drugs.
Yeah.
Wikipedia says it was Brian.
It might have also been Brian, but there's definitely a point in Mike Love's book where he's alluding to the fact that Dennis was such a mess, he made his brother Stan Love move in with him and do push-ups and training every day to stop him from drinking. And it was a real hostage situation. Good God. Sort of
these
thing.
These the Beach Boys and their wellness hostage takers. It's really like rough time.
Yeah, this says he was employed alongside professional model Rocky Pamplin, was trying to make Brian more productive often by physical force.
Mm-hmm.
And later in 1982, he committed a home invasion on Dennis Wilson.
Yeah. And assault.
Yeah, yeah. He beat him up with a rotary phone.
So I really did my best to finish the audiobook of Mike Love's incredibly self-serving memoir, but I have only gotten to him bragging about how good their albums in the early 70s are.
Mm-hmm. Good God.
You did get to the best chapter, though, which is him in India being annoying with the Beatles.
Yeah. So, let me just give you Kevin Love's one answer to this.
Well, first off,
he seems like a normal guy.
Let's introduce. Let's just listen to a little bit of Mike Love's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame acceptance speech. One of the craziest things I've ever heard.
I know Mick Jagger won't be here tonight. He's going to have to stay in England. But I'd like to see us in the Coliseum and he in Wembley Stadium because he's always been chicken shit to get on stage with the Beach Boys.
That's right. Just, challenging Mick Jagger for no reason in his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame acceptance
speech.
Well,
Mike Love really hates the Rolling Stones. There's a point in that where he, they're playing a show at some, they're on the same bill in a show in Alabama in the 60s. And Mike Love just repeats this, like, somewhat clearly, like, a racist state slogan that he yells before the set to get the crowd on their side because they're having to follow the Rolling Stones. And he's like really proud of himself. He also keeps claiming at various points that like Surfing USA is a patriotic song. And then he spends like two sentences talking about how they actually stole the song from Chuck Berry, but it was okay because he was in jail at the time.
Mike, I don't think you understand anything. Also, like, what? There's plenty of things to take apart with Mike Love's speech, but that particular line, he's like, "I'd like to see you know, them at the Rolling Stones at the Coliseum and us at Wembley Stadium. Mm-hmm. But I never will because they've been too chicken shit to get on stage with the Beach Boys.
But
you're asking them to be at different,
yeah,
at different places.
Stadiums, yeah.
It's, that's not the problem. Okay.
It's like
also,
you wanted to do a
play
home
the Coliseum
and home.
All the time. Like,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. What on earth? What on what is this world that he's living in? It's very, very strange.
Yeah. So the part Joey's talking about is they Mike Love goes to meet the Maharishi
in India.
It's the
in
best
like
part 1965, 1966, and he's there with all of the Beatles plus Mia Farrow and her younger sister Prudence. And essentially, when you get to the later part about Dennis Wilson being tricked by Charles Manson, you just realize that all of the Beach Boys were kind of not that smart, and they were pretty easily tricked. Like they get tricked by every manager they have. They get tricked by the record company.
They get tricked by Mike Love.
They get tricked by Mike Love eventually. Yes, but it's like. He meets the Maharishi once and is just like, well, this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. Meanwhile, while he's there, the Beatles are basically writing the White Album. And at least three of the songs are making fun of things or people that Mike Love really believes in. So there's Dear Prudence, which is about Mia Farrow's sister, when John Lennon's like, go outside. Basically, it's like touch grass, the song. Mm-hmm. And Mike Love angrily reports that John Lennon was dead wrong about Prudence because she went on to become a yoga teacher. So there.
Checkmate.
He also claims that he wrote the bridge for back in the USSR.
Yeah,
a
he's
song
like
that is clearly
making
fun
of him
of
directly.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. God damn
he
it.
Claims, so... he claims in the book, they're like, and I was just hanging out, and they were like, hey, we wrote a kind of Beach Boys song. You want to hear it? And they played it for me, and I was like, he then claims to have, like, written the lyrics, kind of, and been like, you need to talk about girls more.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't already
the
in
song.
The song.
Yeah.
He's so
like,
dumb.
You talk about Russia and Ukraine, and he also talks about this. Okay, I haven't heard the song. I've only heard Mike Love read the lyrics on 1.8 speed, because that's how fast I'm listening to the audiobook, because he narrates it himself. And it just seems like he's stealing Beatle valor, because he just has a terrible song about George Harrison that's like, oh, those times we were in India together, and they show like slides of it. And it's like, he was there like a month. You know what I mean? Like the Beatles left. Anyway, Kevin Love is his nephew. And the Players Tribune did an interview with him. That's where Kevin Love is an editor at the Players Tribune.
Editor-in-chief. He's on the masthead.
Along with Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
And,
I know Derek.
CC Sabathia.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Your friend Derek Jeter.
I know Derek. Good guy.
I always point out Joe in the commercial when it's playing in front of my parents. Mm. And my dad's like, yep. And my mom always goes, wait, which one? I'm like, it's the only other...
The guy who's not
Derek
Jeter?
Person, there's three characters in the commercial. One of them is Derek Jeter, who my Aunt Kathy insists is related to us, by the way. And I'm like, there's... Mm-hmm. So he's not. He is...
Very funny.
Anyway, okay, so they asked him what his favorite Beach Boys song was. And he said... I mean, I guess he asked himself, I don't know how this worked. I think it's a reader question. Good question, but tough. I grew up listening to the Beach Boys. Yeah, no shit. I'd have to say God Only Knows is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, that's like betraying his own blood, because that is like Mike Love's least favorite Beach Boys song.
Yeah.
Because he is not on it.
But if you're in a melancholy mood, I'm going to throw out a deep cut for you. I just wasn't made for these times.
Not a deep cut. Right?
Not a deep cut.
He only has listened to Pet Sounds. Yeah.
Like, that also is like, fuck my uncle, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Brian Wilson's like opus, like personal. Yeah.
The I one mean, like, that I guess, Mike Love has to weirdly like
brag about and apologize for.
And he hates it so much.
Yeah. Like, no, there's nothing he can say now that will make sense because he's already like, he trashed it at the time and like was very like, you know, visibly and vocally upset during the recording. And
well, you can also tell he was really cranky about all the marketing and stuff because he sort of acknowledges that the terrible cover for Pet Sounds is his fault in the book. But he's like, yeah, we just didn't have anyone like Brian Epstein doing this. Like, you're clearly yelling at all of them all the time.
There's also now, that amazing there's that amazing story about him singing Hang On To Your Ego, and he's like, he stops the recording, he's like, is this song about drugs, Brian? Yeah. The Beach Boys don't sing about drugs.
And it's funny because Mike Love is doing drugs. It's just he's drinking a lot and smoking pot. It's just weird because in the book he seems like the world's oldest teenager.
That's Dick Clark.
Yeah. They're still wearing their uniforms until like 1970. And he's just like, so he's, it's just weird because he is constantly, he's like a sex addict, but he also is like, whoa, there were naked girls at the, when the Mansons came to my cousin's house. So, but also apparently somebody, possibly Charles Manson, threatened him on the phone, and Mike Love said because he was so tough in school, living in a mansion and carrying around a knife, he wasn't afraid of anyone. And he said, fuck you, motherfucker, come to Manhattan Beach and I'm going to kill you, which is maybe the toughest Manhattan Beach related threat I've ever heard. And he Charles Manson did not go on to murder him.
Yeah.
But he did record one of Charles Manson's songs, although he's like, we changed some lyrics. We added our own Beach Boys spin. So my question is, who is more likely to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? 7-time NBA All-Star Kevin Love or Charles Manson, the deceased?
You know, ultimately, it's going to come down to the fact that I don't think Kevin Love has released any music, has he? So I think that will make him eligible. But Charles Manson technically, you know, recorded music, which makes him eligible. So by default, it's going to have to be old Chucky.
Well, Kevin Love is part of the Droppin' Dimes remix that a computer-generated baby version of Damian Lillard performs in a State Farm commercial. So it's I believe his eligibility date is 25 years past that.
Hold
can
on.
You
I...
can you purchase that song?
I think you can.
Probably on Damian Lillard's website.
Hold on. Do I have that? I had that at one point on our soundboard. I can't find it. I'm sorry, you won't hear Droppin' Dimes, Joe.
One more person on the series who will be eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame soon is Aaron Gordon of the Denver Nuggets, who recorded a song last year about being robbed of a victory in a dunk contest. Are there any songs about being robbed of a dunk contest by an artist in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
You know, yeah, maybe not that specific. I was like, what are the basketball? I mean, like, I don't, you know, RIP Aaron Carter has a song about beating Shaq at basketball. Mm-hmm.
Cheech and Chong, are they going to get
Basketball
in?
Jones? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, on the Basketball Jones version that's on the Space Jam soundtrack, it is Chris Rock and Barry White.
Mm-hmm. He's in, right? No. Oh, no, Barry he's not in yet.
No, he should be. Barry White absolutely should be. Mm-hmm. And there are Public Enemy songs about basketball.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
He Got Game is Public Enemy featuring Stephen Stills.
Stephen Stills, yeah.
Which is wild. Both that's an all Hall of Fame track.
Yeah. And I don't think Skilo has the discography to get in.
Mm-hmm. There's an argument that Curtis Blow
I was going to ask the best basketball song
But he's not like taken seriously, and the trickle of hip hop acts in the hall is so. I mean, I could see them being like Curtis Blow as an early influence, just because like he was the first rap star. Mm-hmm. You could argue, you know. Yeah.
Joey, is there any chance that Drake makes it into the Basketball Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. But I think
they
Drake
have a
is,
large category of like other contributors.
Drake
he's gonna
is,
have to actually buy the team, though.
I yeah, think. But Drake is like gonna for sure get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right, Joe? Yeah. Isn't
I think
he
so.
Like a shoo-in?
Yeah,
at
a shoo-in.
Yeah.
Shoo-in. But it reminds me of the song that Eminem briefly did a verse from when he was inducted, which is that song Forever, which is about basketball, right? Mm-hmm. It's with Drake.
I believe so, yeah.
Drake
most
and Eminem.
Most of songs about Drake does have some basketball reference in them, it seems.
I think LeBron maybe is in the video. Or like, I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, Shaq is also in a 311 video. Does 311 have any chance at the Rock and Roll Hall?
No, but Shaq also
does
has.
Shaq, I was going to ask, does Shaq have a chance? He's Shaq probably eligible soon.
Yeah, I was going to say he might be eligible already.
He's already. I think he's already eligible. Yeah.
If he put out a record before 98,
he definitely then,
oh,
did.
100%.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I think he had a platinum record in 1994.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's been eligible for some time. Yeah. Shaq Diesel from 93.
Yeah. Put Shaq in the Rock Hall.
I mean, some of his numbers are better than some of the people in the Rock Hall.
Well, and you know what he does now, Joe? Shaq, music wise.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like has no. restaurants because
well, he has that. He has a lot of restaurants. He owns
I
Papa
ate at
John's.
The at the short lived Shaquille's mm-hmm. that was in downtown LA. But no, what's musically what's Shaq?
He's an EDM DJ. He like headlines EDM festivals as DJ Diesel.
Yeah, he'll be at Outside Lands this year. I'm going to see if I can get a media credential just
speaking,
to write about Shaq.
He loves EDM. Shaq loves EDM.
Speaking of, I don't know if I'll be able to get a good shot of it. But yeah, the sun is shining. I mean, actually, you know what? I have a very important basketball related song. One second.
Shaq had an album that sold over a million copies, Joey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, it's the Alan Parsons Project.
Wow, that's
y'all know,
amazing.
Y'all know what this is.
Yeah, yeah. Serious,
the,
baby.
They have a better chance at the Basketball Hall of Fame than the Rock Hall, right?
That would be a joke question.
What was that?
Alan Parsons Project. Better shot at the Basketball Hall of Fame than the Rock Hall.
there's Alan Parsons as like a non-performer or musical excellence is not crazy because like he worked on Dark Side of the Moon. Uh-huh. And like as a producer and engineer, he has like a pretty impressive discography. So I could see, but yeah, it's funny. The song Sirius, which is on mm-hmm.
which
that
is
album,
the Michael Jordan song.
Is I bet that song plays song, yeah. at the Basketball Hall of Fame. Don't you think
it should? It's to me like one of the it conjures basketball imagery without any words better than any yeah. song yeah. I could think of.
That was all I had.
Oh, Sean, about, you're done. Well, thank you, Joe, for coming on to hear stories about Mike Love and Jimmy.
I
Butler.
Mean, any time, and as always, I mean, more than I want people to. Watch my special. Please watch Mike Love's full induction speech at the Rock Hall. It's one of the few speeches that they have on the Rock Hall's YouTube where they include clips of like short clips of people responding to it afterwards.
Yeah.
like Elton John, who I believe inducted the Beach Boys, like ran up on stage and was like, I think he says something like, thank fuck that he didn't mention me. Because his speech is basically like calling like a list of grievances. Mm-hmm. It's really, really
his life is a list of grievances, though. So it is the speech is like the man.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it's true to his soul.
I'm gonna have no to doubt. Read another book about the Beach Boys immediately following this because mm-hmm.
you
I
need
feel
the other
like
side.
I'm just getting a crazy person's
yeah, deeply subjective. Yeah. Yeah, account of what he wants you to think.
And then after you watch the Mike Love speech and then Joe's special, Then you should watch Bono inducting
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley, the other insane speech given at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I mean, the thing is, and part of why I did a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is it's just like, there's not just two great speeches. There's like so many insane speeches throughout the, I mean, watch little, I think Little Richard's induction of Otis Redding is like a legit, very funny piece of comedy. Mm-hmm. Like Little Richard is hysterical. And like, it's so weird to be watching like him giving a speech in 89 and like, he's gay. Like everybody like is on board, but it's like this big open secret that he can like make jokes about. I'm like, you know, I wanted Otis to come to my room, and then everyone laughs and he's like, shut up. I want to sing for him. It's fucking rules. The Little Richard was the best. Anyway,
okay, it's really funny that after that speech, like an hour later, Mike Love is standing next to,
he sings with Mick Jagger an hour later.
So funny.
Right. Yeah. Goddamn. Even Bob Dylan like comments on it, where he's like, you know, I guess the Beach Boys were about harmony, but also like relax.
He looks so bad with that tambourine too. Lord. He's the only one in a baseball cap. Oh, this is terrible.
Just the best.
All right, Joe, tell the listeners again where they can watch your new special, Ooh La La.
Yes. You can go on YouTube and search Ooh La La Joe Helium. You will probably find it that way. But if you'd like to click a link, you can go to any of my social media pages where I have it available. Joe Kwa on TikTok and Instagram, Joe KJK on Twitter. And, you know, if you want to just go to Google and type Joe KWA and just let that sucker fill in the rest. Because I think the SEO is on point finally, where that'll take you where you need to go.
And your special is named after the pornographic magazine from Back to the Future 2, right?
Yeah, that's actually all I talk about in this special.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe, for coming on. Listen to Who Cares About the Rock Hall. Watch Ooh La La. Watch Mike Love's acceptance speech. Watch Bono's induction speech. And watch Little Richard's induction speech. Sean, that's our episode.
Yeah.
Anything you want to plug?
Check out what I'm writing on Yard Barker, Giants Baseball Insider, or Golden State of Mind, where there's going to be a fun piece on Draymond's technicals.
Great. As for me, you can always find me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on June 5th, I tweeted, "This movie I'm filming truly has my emotions all over the map, both on and off set. I'm so passionate about this film, and I hope to give you all something insanely entertaining. I'm giving it my all."
Is that Sharknado 3?
I don't know. my question, though, Sean, is Frankie Muniz the last of a dying breed of movie star we used to have a lot, which was actor / race car driver?
Mm-hmm. It's basically him, Steve McQueen, and Paul Newman. He's the only survivor.
And Paul Newman.
Newman. So yeah, Frankie is the last man standing. I guess, does David Letterman count?
No.
Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan has a racing team.
He's not driving, though.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's just him. R.I.P. Bobby Fields, though, by the way.
Yeah. That's our episode. Sean, did you have a song you wanted to have people listen to?
Yeah, let's play the Joker song. He's going to be the Finals MVP. Let's get it out of the way. Let's get that song out.
I mean, you can't call the Heat dead yet, man. They're the Heat.
You're right.
They're
right.
God's team. And actually, by God, I of course mean the owner of Carnival Cruises. All right.
Yeah, the Waystar Royko of the NBA. Cruise disasters, nepotism, an old angry man yelling at people all the time, calling him fat.
Anyway, trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all... Don't read Mike Love's book. You don't have to do it. Sean didn't have to do it, but he tried.
Now I'm going to finish it.
Some people call me a space eater. Yeah, some call me a gangster and a thug. Charles Barkley calls me Big Honey, 'cause I remind him of a sweet he loves. People talk about my elbows, saying my thighs are strong, way too strong. Well, don't you worry, Nurkic, don't worry, 'cause we're losing, losing, losing game seven at home. 'Cause I'm a shooter, I'm a passer, I'm a center, and I'm massive. I wear zinc oxide in the sun. I'm a rim shaker and a mic breaker. I'm a future Laker. I get real tired when I run. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Man, what a season for these Denver Nuggets. You know, they're young enough that they're going to be back. After all, time keeps sleeping into the future. Better just fly like an eagle back to the top of the West. Right on! I'm the closest thing to a human grizzly bear. I only pay $8 when I cut my hair. Inside, outside, inside, outside, inside, outside all the time. Ooh-wee, baby, you think Jokic could date Grimes? 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a roller, I'm a shot blocker with extra molars. They love me in suburbia. I'm a joker, I play strip poker, Paul Mills abs a choker. I'm going back to Serbia. Man, I didn't mean that about Paul Millsap being a choker. He's been a great player. Unfortunately, it was for the Atlanta Hawks. The Denver Nuggets just didn't go all that well. But again, not a big deal. Great play. Too expensive next year. People keep talking about my elbows, saying my thighs are too strong. Well, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, Dame, 'cause I'm losing at home. I'm the closest thing to a human grizzly bear. I only pay $8 when I cut my hair. Inside, inside, outside, inside, inside, outside all the time. Come on, Gary Harris, I'll show you a good time.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.